Jesus Radio. Believe it. Yeah, you're listening to Care Voice Radio, the edutainment station coming to you live inside this show. We are calling this show Spirituality in the Mix. And I want to kind of clarify that a little bit because some folks wanted to know, well, exactly, Orby, what do you mean? So what do I really mean? And I said before on the last show on Friday that spirituality in the mix has to do with how you're thinking, talking, walking, speaking inside of your daily activity, inside of your daily life, and what contributes to the way you think and how you feel about things, people, places, and animals. It's a very important thing from my perspective to consider how I'm thinking, because it's thunkable. As a matter of fact, I think there's an app like that by that name. So I'm not promoting that app specifically, but I'll tell you more about that and so on. But for me, everything that I do, say, think, and feel has to be related back to an original value or an original purpose. Otherwise, to me, it does not make sense. Everything that I believe has to flow in a circle. And it must come back to me as a deity of truth, a value of truth. And anytime that I have to make a decision about something or someone, I think sometimes it actually makes me weak. But I'll share more about that in terms of what a SWOT analysis looks like, and we may not cover that in this show. We may cover that in the reprisal of the Elevate Entrepreneur program. But I will say this. It is really important for me to understand that when I'm on purpose, it has a value. And the value has to be related to the most important thing, the both parties in the conversation. And I kind of looked at my spirituality, and as I recollect, I relate that back to God as a belief system in an eternal deity that created what we know experience as creation on Earth and in the galaxy that we have not even explored yet. As a matter of fact, we are sending astronauts to space. We're talking about UFOs, a whole bunch of different things. So we haven't really explored our galaxy in terms of our becoming. So what we've experienced thus far on this Earth is pretty much what is geared towards our five senses and our six, the actuator of our thinking, which is our mind and brain trust. So in saying all of that, I want to examine in this show the accusatory statement that is in heaven, or that transpired in heaven, because I've been researching and thinking for as long as I know myself. But when I really engage the understanding behind why am I here, because a lot of people ask, well, why am I here? And there's so many conversations happening on the earth, and so many conversations happening to do with religious differences, spiritual differences, cultural differences. But I hate to keep saying this thing, but when COVID showed up, we all had one thing that we were looking at. How do we survive beyond the storm? And it appears to me that the accusatory statement is always something that someone somewhere somehow see as an opportunity to destroy someone else. I would not accuse you of something if I didn't want a response. But instead of accusing you, I would want to be able to call you and say, I have a problem. Can we discuss it? And that problem, or what my five senses told me about what I think I know or what I think I saw, may not even be the truth. It may not even have anything to do with me. And sometimes we've got to stop, drop, and roll because our minds are on fire. And that's the procedure you usually take when you're on fire, to ensure that you can recover from any types of burns. And in our history and in our conversation, our burns are usually aggressive. Because how dare you say this about me? How dare you say that about me? Now, in a conversation, I was telling a friend, you know, for years, people have been talking negative. Some talk positive. But the more and more I engage and understand and read and learn, and in this moment, Recognize that I am not the only victimized individual in this process of being accused. So I had to go back to the original conversation. And again, I said last week that our life is a book. We need to write the chapters, period. Because a lot of the things that we believe, think, and feel derive from a book they call either the Bible, the Quran, or whatever other religion that you believe in or understand from your historical understanding or your parents' understanding that they said, well, you've got to believe what I believe because I'm your mother or father. But in my case, I didn't have a father to look at. And my mother was a quiet person. I didn't know how quiet she was until she got upset. But I'm going to say that to say this. In the process of life, I realized that no one can form a negative opinion of you unless they have a conversation with themselves and others to talk about how good you are not, or how bad a person you are because you are the child of your parent. It's disgusting. But what I really want to say in terms of going back to the conversation in heaven, as I'm recollecting, and I know, and I want to say this before I even get started, I want to thank every single one of you who have been congratulating me on this show, congratulating me on the other show. And I am thankful for your input. It has been extremely valuable in the last couple of weeks. And we're going to take this to another level as we move forward. And we're going to tell you how we want you to participate in helping us to do that if you're interested. And also what the benefit will be to you. Now, as I get back to the conversation about the accusatory statement in heaven, I want to tell you, from what I read, I recognize that the accusatory statement began somewhere in the conversation in Genesis. And it had to do with the prescribed Adam conversation and the conversation with God. But I want to go a little further back before I get there, because I think it's important to understand what the first accusatory statement was. And I want you to reflect on that to support the notion of how you behave. And can you triangulate your behavior in relationship to that first accusatory statement? Now, here we go. It's a beautiful moment. Now, from my understanding, when God created heaven and earth, it was a very interesting construction. He took a constructive action to take something somewhere, somehow, that was an abyss out there, and his presence, his deity, or his or her, or the accumulation of both, right? Because I refer to that as kind of like universal prime force and prime energy. I don't give it a gender, because I think that's kind of a restrictive culture of thinking. Now, from what I understand, created the heaven and the earth, put down the wind, the rain, everything else that you can think about that you enjoy right now that is being threatened. So you got your sun, your moon, your stars, your rain, your creation in terms of fruits, vegetables, animals, all the things that you are currently experiencing. Take a look around as I'm speaking. Step outside of your house and take a second look at the first look and see if it's true. That's proof of life right there. But then I move forward and I realize that the conversation took a different look. Now, from us thinking in our capacity, we're probably thinking in 5 to 7 days everything was done in our daily understanding of what a day, week, and month looks like. But I think that in my way of thinking, it probably lasted much longer, because remember, we are functioning in a whole different environmental consideration at this moment in terms of the new beginning, the new world order, and all these different things. But I'm saying that to say this. As we look at the final conversation, we are told and we agree about how this looks. God, based on the story, created Adam. And he liked the whole thing. Everything was going good. The art form, the edutainment, and the artistic value was in place. And he said, yo, That's beautiful. Something somehow is missing. Okay? And it came to pass back then, as we like to say in those old literature, that he created a woman because everything wasn't as complete as then. Okay? That's going backward. Now, allegedly, after he created the woman, said, yo, this stuff is rocking. Okay, this looks real good. I like it. I approve this message. Let me finish there. Meanwhile, back in heaven, a conversation was happening. He made these folks, according to the story. And then he came and he met with the people who were hanging with him, his trusted angels. They were hanging with him for quite some time. And as the story goes, I'm going to say this because I'm breaking it down pretty simple without going supersonic on other things, because I think it's important to understand that we are a spiritual value and spiritual deity existing currently in a place called Earth as we know it. And we get to see each other through the bending of light in our retina and that kind of sweetness that people always tell you about. And if there are scientists out there that are listening to me and I'm wrong, send me a note. If there's anyone that has an opinion, send me a note. If it's negative, I'm not going to answer, but I will answer you differently. I need to have people thinking positive in terms of prosperity and what makes common sense that's beyond what is common in today's world. Now, as the story goes along, from what I remember, as the people say, you're getting older, maybe you forget some things. But as the story goes along, from what I understand, and I know there are people out there that know more about this than me, I'm just sharing my input, and I know that they can repeat the Bible chapter and verse and know every single thing, but a lot of them don't have any heart, and that bothers me. But that's another conversation. Now, at the core of this conversation, apparently there was a meeting. And God said, from this day forth, you guys have to go through these people. And you'll get all the extra benefits, the package, you'll get insurance, all these kind of different things that you probably don't have now or you have now, but today is a different day in heaven. And during the course of time, apparently, the guy who was the big kahuna angel decided that I'm not supporting this message. I am not supporting this reform. I think that looks like a kind of a governmental thing happening in heaven, but I don't know. I mean, I want you to tell me what you think. Exciting. So as time went by now and the order was given, apparently the disagreement ended in a battle that this angel ended up being thrown down to the earth. But consider this for a moment. If you were living in heaven, and you know God's truth, and you were with him from the beginning, that gives you a very serious amount of knowledge and vision behind the purpose and power of the living God. So how do you betray a deity that knows everything? Ha! Let me look at it. Well, before time, there was only God. And there were no exceptions to that rule. The exception to the rule where procreative rights took place is the birth of the children we refer to as Adam and Eve. And we need to take that Adam and Eve conversation a little wider and deeper and penetrate it. Now, from my perspective, and I'm a sci-fi guy, so I'm looking at this too from a sci-fi conversation historically and now. Because there's so many conversations that happen in the Word that are replicated in film. And I love it because it supports a lot of notions as I review it. That's why I became a Trekkie. That's why I like Indiana Jones and all of those different conversations. I don't watch television, but I do like NCIS because it's an interesting dynamic. And the whole NCIS series piece, I kind of like. I'm not sure I like NCIS New Orleans particularly, but I do like Scott Bakula, from back days in the Star Wars and so on. So I may be getting off course, but I like to have a conversation with people. A dialogue, if you will. So in this conversation, as I'm listening, the accusatory statement that transpired, where we're not taking this shit anymore, as people would say, and you have a battle and you disagree, so you're sent to Earth, and you come to Earth, but you have some serious powers, kind of like Superman. And so you're down on the Earth, and you're seeing these carbon-based humans on the Earth with all these special powers, and you start a dialogue with them. It had to have happened. But you're not revealing yourself, because if you reveal, hey, I'm that guy that got thrown down, and now they're in a learning curve too. Remember the talk about the Garden of Eden and it's in Africa and so on and so forth. They're in a learning curve, so they may not even understand what you're talking about. But what you know is that you're looking on how you can get your power back. So you're looking now at a deity that's saying, I'm going to infuse myself into that bloodline so I can have ownership of any and every other birth that takes place. That's what I'm thinking. I could be off base right here. But from what I've been able to see thus far, sex becomes a very big deal. So I'm assuming, for the purpose of this conversation, and some people are going to get offended, don't get offended. Don't hate, just try to relate. Because when I look at the behavioral model, anything to do with hate, greed, envy, anxiety, and professional stupidity is a negative progression that leads nowhere except pain. And then you have to take what you know about love and purpose and translate that to kill off hate, greed, envy, anxiety, and professional stupidity around you. And so you don't hang out with people who have a negative spirit because of it. But then what happens is that you don't understand specifically because you didn't really study the dynamic you're believing. And then the people who believe and who are sharing also believe and share because they learn from someone who probably didn't know a lot more. But in today's society, as the people would say, a lot of folks are becoming woke and realized that the spiritual deity and the significance of knowledge, heart, will, and power lives inside of their system, inside of their DNA. And so as a result, we don't need to check in to see if we're going to breathe, if we're going to eat and drink, because our stimuli and response factor gives us subliminal messages to say, you need this or you need that. And then there's another conversation that happens that comes from your mind that becomes that accusatory statement. So we need to investigate and speak to possible causation and reflect back on our value as spiritual deities who have enormous power. But somehow, somewhere in the conversation historically, we didn't have the chance to address it because a lot of things happen in terms of how we feel about ourselves and others. We saw a generation of people who have different belief system about each other. But I am assuming that this is a result as time grew and philosophies grew and behaviors grew, that we began to see some people as good, some people as evil, because I believe that happens in the mind. And again, I relate that back to babies growing up. No matter race, creed, color, spiritual origin, in terms of that conversation, they don't spend time hating each other. They don't look at color. But as the system developed, we develop a slave mentality, a master slave mentality that we even apply to technology when we built a computer. When I first understood about computer, you had a slave-master relationship, and I was smiling. Not pleasantly, but I smiled because it just kind of reiterated and strengthened some possibility of thinker's creed. So as I look at it and I include what's going on right now, sex is the accusatory statement. Sex. And you get into a relationship because of what you believe spiritually, so now you look to get married, but you're not really looking at what marriage really means in many ways. And I'm not saying everybody does, because there's some other conscious people out there saying, hey, Aubrey, I don't doubt what you're saying. I'm kind of glad you're saying it. And then there's some others that are looking at it and saying, hey, you're messing up my moment. Don't be telling these people this stuff. Because that's where how the accusatory statement works. I want everybody to be conscious and understand, but you cannot do it unless you have an experiential moment in your life. And I've been having a lot of negative moments, and I've had time to really reflect on a lot of things. That's one of the reasons I'm sharing this. And remember, the topic is the accusatory statement in heaven, and that accusatory statement fell to earth. Think about it. And there are a lot of conversations that we accept inside of that model. But as I continue, I ask you to consider what sex has done internationally for peace and prosperity, but also for the failure to understand value of the humankind. Now, when I was growing up, and I'm still growing up, I'm going to grow up until I transition. And when I transition, I'm going to continue growing up. I think it's important. I think music is important in the process because, you know, I've heard people say, you don't know how much Luther, how many Luther songs made me have, how many kids, or whatever your favorite artist is, and so on. So the music is speaking to restoration and understanding. My experiences are telling me to tell you this in a musical format, because the first level of music injection in community happened in creation. From what I understand, and they were saying their harps in heaven, you know, we have our own depiction of what happened. But I want to go a little bit closer, because I have a really good friend that if a melody does not exist, my friend creates it, and he won a Grammy for it. And he continues to raise the bar in that vein. So I'm saying, as I listen to the chirping, the bird, the alligators, everybody else, and everything else that are making music with their noise, and we're combining those people, that is what makes creation flow and make you feel and experience. You just want to get out, and when the wind hits you and you hear all these different noises and the chirping of the birds, it settles you, because you are the author and finisher of that faith and belief in your existence and your experiential moment as you are living. And that is why you are on this planet, to own your procreative rights. That is why you are here. And as soon as you evolve, people will start looking at you. Sometimes you'll maybe meet a person, never met you. But those are influencers from the spiritual world in terms of what you don't understand as spirit and mind and body. But brain and mind are two different conversations. And remember, your body has an electrical flow inside of it. So I want you to think about that in relationship to acts of cognitive understanding and existence. So let me run back to sex for a minute, because in this religious model and belief system, especially when I subscribed to Christianity in the first place, and I realized that a lot of people, from what I understand and see, from what I'm not accusing anyone of this and everybody of this, because it's not my place. I'm just telling you straight. But if you've got approximately 2 billion people, 2.4 billion people, according to Wikipedia, yeah, I just had an emotional moment, and I quoted Wiki. 29% of the people who believe in the religious, or what you rely on, religion, what you rely on, you are currently 29% and the largest population on the planet. Now, there are different religious bodies, and they all came about because of a disagreement in the belief system. There's only one God, many religions. And I've always looked at it and said, hey, perhaps there are many different doors. And yes, it's true. But I look at the origin as a constructive action. I look at everything in a constructive action way, because that's how I begin the process of questioning what the problem looks like and why it exists. Is it there because of a previous issue that was not resolved, or but was resolved and not totally clear? Or is it being done on purpose to create another model and more chaos and so on? Maybe we can get into that another time. But what I've noticed is that people live in their homes together under the auspices of marriage, and even not marriage, but being relatable to each other, and they are total strangers. And so you have strangers living together, and as they morph and as their needs and beliefs morph, they're not really talking to each other. It's kind of like when people say, hey, we are family, I run. Because you're a bloodline to me, but we're not familiar with each other in that kind of way. I have family members who are blood related, but they treat me like junk, and many of you can relate to it. And they try to treat me as junk, but I offset it because if you're treating me like junk, then you're not family. You might be blood related, but if you're a stranger that treats me better than family, then you're family because you're familiar with me. Wordsmithism is important in your spiritual delivery, your spiritual understanding of self and others. You can't walk around saying, do it because they're family. They're plotting your murder. They're plotting your death. They're plotting your failure because of the jealousy in it. And I tell Barbados, the only jealousies that I want to see are the ones that are in the house, in the chattel houses, that can help the wind blow in and bring a nice current into the house to make it work. So you can cool down in the day, have your lemonade, have your passion fruit juice. As a matter of fact, I can't wait to land in Barbados next year, God willing. And I mean it, God willing. Because I don't do, say, or think anything anymore without trying to ask God, well, what's the deal? That's why sometimes it takes me years to respond to bad behavior from other people. Because I didn't get that answer. And sometimes I get frustrated and I want to go pick up and do my own thing. But once I done that, I am failing because I'm moving before God is ready. And sometimes in the midst of when I'm moving, and God said, man, I'll be hard ears, you know, but let me jump on this ride, change the course, and help him to push the way he want to go to, and I will reconstruct the plan because I'm the general. And I will help my key person in the field. And that's Aubrey. And that's you. And that's anyone who subscribes to understanding the eternal deity in the course of time changing in their life and in their space. Yes, as a coach, I have to tell the truth. And I have to manage the equity and go real far into the future as I address a forecast method to see if what I'm telling this person and sharing with this person will be a help or a hindrance. And as I'm talking to you, I'm kind of looking for this. I'm going to look for the psalm, and because it's something that I mentioned in my broadcast on Friday. I didn't get to really talk about it, but I had the opportunity to speak to the artist because I received an email from a very nice young lady who said, I was listening to your show. And I said, she said, is this the song you meant? And I said, yeah, where did you find it? But I haven't really talked to her yet in terms of physical. I sent a note and I said, yeah. And it related a little bit to what I was talking about then, but relates so much now in terms of what I'm talking about related to understanding the value of women in general, globally. Are the finishers of God's faith and belief system. Don't get it twisted. Go do your history. No need to be beating down on them. No need to be criticizing them. Join the daggone caravan and support the notion of what it looks like. A guy said to me, I don't like Aubrey. He seems confused. A lot of what he does relates to women. It's true. I don't care if you like me or if you're going to talk bad about me, but I will let you know that in terms of people speaking, like I said early in this conversation, I don't respond until I get permission in a lot of ways. And sometimes I get mad and I move on it. But that madness is not about anything else other than trying to get to the front of the line to get what I want done because too many people are hurt. I'm hurting. You are hurting. Let's not try to fake it. Don't be a faker. If you're hurting, say you're hurting so you can get relief. And that's the spirituality part of it. But now, in terms of that song, I'm talking about Ruby Tech. To me, I'm a fan of his. I'm a fan of several Barbadian artists. And people are always asking me, why do you talk about Barbados so much? Because Barbados is responsible for a lot of the migration history into the United States and beyond. And the human capital of Barbados, once they figure it out, always take a leadership role globally. And I did the research. But this song by Ruby Tech is a very important song because it brings home the conversation. And it's kind of hip hop kind of thing, but I want for the people who are listening into this broadcast to understand that a lot of the artists are reaching out and they're having conversations related to your circumstance, related to their circumstance. And if you continue to say that their conversation musically is segregated music, therefore you can't touch it, think it, watch it, listen to it, you are making a huge mistake in terms of spiritual development and transitioning, if the person is doing evil, for them to transition to even believe in you. Because you're taking something that you think you own. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm religious. I'm a Christian. I can't talk to you. It's baloney. You are supposed to be in the trenches hanging with the hitters, hanging with those who are lost. And you're understanding of what loss is, and I guarantee you that their consideration of loss will teach you something. But you can't learn anything because you're not hanging with those people in need of your servitude as leaders in the community. That is what has to happen. You say, well, Arby, you crazy man. Perhaps I am. But in growing up, I had to flip my own script. Because I was always told you're nothing. And I looked at it and I said, hell no. No, 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 baby. I am someone, somewhere, somehow, who is extremely important in life. Important to God. Let's listen to this tune. Because I want you to stop living with strangers. I experienced it over the years. That's why I ended up getting divorced. You're pushing critical mass and you're on point. You know you can't change. As a man, you're not supposed to change course. If a woman says this is where I want to go, your goal is to make sure that you keep pushing even when the storm is killing you. When you come up against the perfect storms, that is when you push. You push. Even your kryptonite is behind you. You push. Because that is where you will see the rain and the wind subside and your freedom song begins to happen. I'm not going to stop preaching. I don't like preaching. I like having a conversation. And for men, this is for you. Blame no one but your own inability to want to go and seek your value as a positive procreator. You are the best thing on the planet. And I know sex pulls you. Mm-hmm. Because it makes you feel like you have something of value, and heck yes, you do. Come right back after this tune. Same house, same room, different hearts, different minds. Yeah, yeah, I got the strangest feeling. So won't you check my reason? We be living in the same house, sleeping in the same room, eating up the same food, but do you feel the same? Has this love come to an end? Yes, it is a perfect stranger in my house and in my room, and do you feel the same? Has this love come to an end? Yes,
set to the beginning. Sweet love is what I'm seeing when you enter the restaurant. That's what I'm thinking. Sex, not now but after. Let's start the chapter. I introduce myself, call me Tech. Her name's Amanda, got her own agenda. She was wondering when I was gonna come over. Hold up, come over to introduce yourself, silly. From then it was a storybook, fairy tale ending. The end didn't end, the end of was beginning. Now it's closer to all over. Now we argue about who did, didn't do, who knew. A perfect stranger in my house and in my room. And do you feel the same? Has this love come to an end? Yes. She's a perfect stranger in my house and in my room. Maybe so, maybe we could be better on our own. On our own. We shouldn't rush to be so hasty, premature. Could we be wrong to end up alone? All alone. It's so hard to get past all the fighting, the rankings, all the war. We hiding in plain sight, a picture perfect couple reminding. It's closer to all over. Now we argue about who didn't do, who knew. There's a perfect stranger in my house and in my room. And do you feel the same? Has this love come to an end? Yes. There's a perfect stranger in my house and in my room. Love me for me, but be turning something that was beautiful to something ugly. Clee, before it changes, let's breathe. Breeze, step away, go on our own. If you feel like here's home, I'm a phone call away, much closer than your heartbeat. Beat. If you feel like here's home, I'm a phone call away, much closer than your heartbeat. There's a perfect stranger in my house and in my room. And do you feel the same? Has this love come to an end? Yes. He's a perfect stranger in my house and in my room. And do you feel the same? Has this love come to an end?
I feel very passionate about this conversation tonight because it's something that has been happening for quite some time in terms of myself personally. I've been through a lot of junk. But when I look back at the legacy that's behind it, it's historical and powerful. So I have to now take what I know about what happened historically and do what I'm telling you to do and put it in my chapter of my book to keep it real. As a matter of fact, I started seeking out family for a while. They never returned my calls. And just a couple of weeks ago, I decided I'm shutting it down. And as soon as I decided to shut it down, the phone began to ring. So I said, God, what are you up to? I made a decision to shut down and you're having these people in front of me. And as a result of those conversations, I learned a lot about my family's history. Powerful family. Just has to try to get it together together. And that's what I'm, one of my projects now, I open up some WhatsApp rooms for conversation. I do one for Elevate Entrepreneur because it's important what I do and how I teach what I teach because it has a successful rate. I teach a workshop with an individual that's the head of the family and the entire family is affected, supported positively. I don't want you to lose sight or lose understanding on how important it is for you to reconstruct what you believe about yourself and others because you've heard the news report. You've heard that violence is up in households, even among children, bullying, all of these negative progressions. And it's up to you, you the mom, you the dad, me personally, accusatory statements coming. And one of the good things I like about me is that I keep information. I gather and I take notes. So my accusers, when I'm ready to respond, when I have permission to respond, I want to make sure that we understand each other. It's not about hating. It's about reconstruction. It's about restoration of our privilege to be here on the earth. Because there's only one thing that leaves with you when you leave, from what I've been able to see. Your mindset. Your mindset has eternal spiritual value. Not your body. Like someone said a couple of weeks ago, you were born to die. It's true. Your body was supposed to leave you, but your mind is the housing system. Your mind is the housing system that connects to the spiritual world and the spiritual value. And guess what? You need to be careful what you adopt in your mind and what you release. Don't be a stranger to yourself. Don't be a stranger to the other people around you. And remember, as I close this out right now, I'm going to play the song one more time, and I'm going to interrupt a little bit in between because I want to make it clear, right? That hip-hop is a part of the release system. Jazz is a part of the release system. Gospel is a part of the release system. Do you hear that air pressure? Psh, 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 psh. Peace. Psh. Peace. Come in. After you can express yourself. And believe me, restoration is important because a lot of the historical songs that you have selected to be holy songs in your conversation and in your congregation were created by people who beat the crap out of you. Why do I love being who I am and being a Barbadian? Because we converted slave mentality food into delicacies. And I want to take a moment to thank CBC for beginning the process of understanding that going digital and having community conversations in real time are helping to bring peace to your island, to my island, to my home. Because I don't want to be the guy that promotes my island for tourism and then you turn around and treat my guests poorly. It has happened before. Now I'm going to tell you. Because I feel that release myself to tell you. I've sent people to Barbados because when I worked in the court system, I used to talk a lot about Barbados. One day a judge asked me, Aubrey, is the tourism people paying you for what you are telling us? Because I'm telling you, you're a great promoter of your island. I was so serious about it. And love the people and the island so much. And I said, even if they don't love me, even if they don't care, I have to give them the opportunity because God gave me the opportunity to speak. Growing up in my community, I couldn't talk. I got laughed at and I stuttered trying to speak. I have a few people that are my friends because they remember me. And they say, Arby, I don't remember that. You remember that. But I love them. And there are predominantly women. So that's why I created a program for women as a man. Every person that has helped me in terms of the percentage have been women. Yes. That's why I do it. So there isn't anything wrong with me. It's called a give back. Ordinary women, extraordinary lives. I haven't been able to do it for a couple of years. I did it 1 year when I couldn't get on the island because of restrictions in traveling and so on. But I plan in 2021, if God be with me, I'm going to go supersonic on that conversation and show you the lives of the women globally who have touched, who are willing to show up and show out and continue doing what needs to get done. Because they are part, and more importantly, the only sustainable part of procreation, because without women, you can't have new births. I don't care what you think, how you feel. Only a woman can be the honesty behind God's intent to procreate. But we've got to get the literature right. We've got to get the conversation right. We've got to remove the executive negative order that became the accusatory statement that leaves us in pain. Here it is again before I get out of here. Yeah. Even the music, even the rhythm, the drums, man. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Same house. Same house, same room, different hearts. Check the pulse of your intellect, heart, and will. Three things. This is your homework. I don't believe I'm giving people homework. But it's fun. It's fun for me to tell you. I'm always a learner. That's why I'm a good teacher. I'm a natural teacher. When you listen to this show, your homework is going to be to recalibrate your logic. Amend your heart. See if forgiveness shows up. If forgiveness shows up, go tell someone, I forgive you. Because they might be carrying a lot of negative about you. I remember Lisa Bailey, when she got back to Barbados after she wrote her book and launched it in Atlanta, a lot of people approached her because she was on the air talking about the book, sharing her experiences. And many of them came and said, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That is why we have so much trouble now, spiritually and practically. It is okay to say I'm sorry. Because you're in the same house called the earth. But you have different minds, and that's the different. That's what creates the catalyst for bad behavior. None of us are cursed. We just have perpetual historical bad behavior. Pay attention. When they're eating, when they're sleeping together, do you still feel the same? Yeah.
Sweet love is what I'm seeing when you enter the restaurant. That's what I'm thinking. Sex, not now, but after. Let's start the chapter. I introduce myself, call me Tech. Her name's Amanda, got her own agenda. She was wondering when I was gonna come over. Hold up, come over to introduce yourself, silly. From then it was a storybook, fairy tale ending. The end didn't end, the end was beginning. Now it's closer to all over. Now we argue about who did, didn't do. Who is a perfect stranger in my house and in my room? And do you feel the same? Has this love come to an end? Yes, is a perfect stranger in my house and in my room.
Yeah, the question is being asked. Buy the song, study it for your homework. It's available, and he's not paying me for this. I am just a fan. And I agree with a lot of the things that he's doing in terms of his art, the legacy that he represents. It is Barbados to the world. Always has been, always will be. I hope. We have some behavior. Remember, our job is to be customer service to ourselves. I want to say to the young people, I came from where you came from. I was angry, very angry. A big rock was one of my favorite things. One of my best friends' name was Techie. Techie, and I said it to my friend the other day in London, my cousin. He says, man, I didn't even remember that. But Techie was angry too. You know what I'm saying? We'll keep us on the lock as we close out. Todd, more to you coming later.
Yes, no, maybe so. Maybe we could be better on our own. On our own. We shouldn't rush to be so hasty, premature. Could we be wrong to end up alone? All alone. It's so hard to get past all the fighting, the rankings, all the war. We hiding in plain sight, a picture perfect couple reminding. It's closer to all over. Now we argue about who didn't do. Who is a perfect stranger in my house and in my room? And do you feel the same? Has this love come to an end? Yes, is a perfect stranger in my house and in my room. She loved me for me, but we turning something that was beautiful to something ugly. Before it changes, let's breathe. Breeze, step away, go on our own. If you feel like here's home, I'm a phone call away, much closer than your heartbeat. Beat. If you feel like here's home, I'm a phone call away, much closer than your heartbeat. Beat.
It's a perfect stranger in my house and in my room. And do you feel the same? Has this love come to an end? Yes, it's a perfect stranger in my house and in my room. And do you feel the same? Has this love come to an end?
Radio.
Believe.